Welcome to Work From Your Happy Place, the podcast that equips you with the tools, know-how, and motivation to live your dreams and find your happy place. Be sure to sign up for our free weekly newsletter for a recap of the week's guests and a preview of what's in store. To sign up, simply text the word happy place with no space to 33444. Now, it's my pleasure to introduce the host of Work From Your Happy Place, Belinda Ellsworth.
Everyone, and welcome to Work From Your Happy Place. I am very excited about our show today. I have Sima Dahl with me, CSP, AS, and MBA. She is an international speaker and branding visionary who will revolutionize the way you think about the business of personal brands. Her experience as an award-winning marketer paved the way for Sway Factor, her groundbreaking personal branding strategies that empower professionals to stand out, stay relevant, and be in demand. With bold candor, unfiltered honesty, and her signature charismatic style, Sima has traveled from Boston to Budapest to show small business owners, global enterprise teams, trade association members, and individual go-getters how to out-hire, outsell, and outperform the competition. Sima is one of 12% of speakers worldwide to earn the Certified Speaking Professional designation from the National Speakers Association and one of 88 speakers worldwide to earn the Accredited Speaker designation, an honor conferred by Toastmasters International. Only three women in the world hold both. Wow, that's awesome, Sima. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for that. Clearly, I'm a Girl Scout still chasing badges there.
Wow. I know. I have never fully applied. Like for the certified speakers with National Speakers Association, I've met all the criteria, but I couldn't attend enough of their meetings in order to get that last piece of it because I always had speaking engagements. I'm like, I'm not giving up a paid speaking engagement to go to this meeting. So I just never did get it applied, didn't go for the badge. So it's an interesting journey there, but that's a great accomplishment. So congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. So let's fill in some of the gaps of this bio and let's tell a little bit more about yourself, your journey, and what are you doing today to really help companies with their branding. This is a big topic right now, and I'm really anxious to hear your thoughts on it.
Sure. I actually don't work so much at the corporate brand level as I do at the personal brand level. So my focus is on how can I help companies attract and retain top talent, drive sales, and strengthen their market brand through the art and science of personal branding with respect to their employees. So, you know, every professional I meet has some sort of aspirational goal, be it to start a business, grow their business. You know, if they're in sales, they want to crush their quota. If they work for someone else, they're typically angling for more responsibility, a shift, a promotion, something. You know, if you have a pulse, typically you're working towards some newer state. And I teach people how to use the power of personal branding offline and online to achieve those goals faster.
Wow, that's great. So give us an example then of what that might look like.
Sure. It's funny. I just got off the line. I'm a member of the American Marketing Association Chicago chapter, and we were doing a LinkedIn Live in honor of International Women's History Month and just diversity, equity, and inclusion issues. And we were talking about one of the things women really need to do is lean into a conversation and speak up. So that's actually true, not just for women, but for men as well. And in my work, I've discovered that people are hesitant to do that for a million and one reasons. So it's really hard to consider you for a promotion or for anything for that matter if I really don't come to understand you, what you do, where your expertise is, your willingness to put, you know, your good name on the line and stand for something. And so that's just one way you bring your personal brand to life in the office, at a networking event. You know, if I Google you, what's my experience of you before we meet? And certainly, how do you stay top of mind with me after we meet? So really simple measures, but practiced consistently.
Wow, that's great. people do seem to have a problem speaking up for themselves. They just want people to either figure it out on their own or it's, we just had this conversation earlier in our office today. It's quite interesting, actually.
Sure. And when you ask people what they do, they give you their job title, which by and large is meaningless. I mean, Right. You're a CEO and a founder, and so am I. And so is the guy who invented the pool noodle. I don't know. It doesn't mean a thing. So Right. Really looking like to introduce yourself in a way that begins to, carve out a position that you want to own. All the small things, getting networked inside the enterprise, as well as the community, as well as your industry. The first thing I ask somebody who's trying to make a career change is, well, what are you doing to surround yourself by people doing what you aspire to do, even if that's the next level promotion? And oftentimes the answer is a blank stare. So, you got to kind of get in the fray if you want to get ahead.
Absolutely. Those are great points for sure. And I think I'll ask people questions and the blank stare is the number one thing. And you know that they don't have any real clue. Sometimes I'll ask people, are you successful? And it is just blank. And they're like, well, I mean, I don't, how are you define, how do you define that really? I mean, like I'm like compared to who? It's like they take on their whole meaning of what that is in analyzation of it. It's just like cracks me up.
Yeah, absolutely. And everybody I know has opportunity to grow in this regard. I work with some pretty senior level business owners, C-suite, and they may have game in person, but then I look to their digital footprint and I say, is this the best you've got? You've accomplished all of this. You're trying to recruit, you're trying to hire, you're trying to sell, and digitally you stand for absolutely nothing. So, it's that whole continuum. Like I say, as a former corporate marketer, marketing 101 is consistent messaging across touch points. And today we just have so many touch points from the very time we say hello, to leaning into that meeting and weighing in to the online experience of you and everything in between.
Wow, that's very good. So let's talk a little bit more about how your business has shaped your lifestyle today.
It's funny coming off a year of, not a lot of main stage keynotes, a lot of lockdown, if you will. Many people talk about the pivot. Many people who do what I do, keynote speaking, corporate training, talk about the pivot to online. But I've always done instruction online because I do work with a lot of sales teams and it's expensive to bring a national sales team, let alone an international, together and lock them in a room and force them into 8, 12 or more hours of training. So that wasn't as much of a pivot for me personally. But what got interesting was fee schedules and the assumption that I am worth less because I'm not leaving the house. That was really interesting. I had to really kind of think through that little puzzle. So that working from home, justifying my fees, my expertise, and the idea if I have to go live online at 4 p.m. in the afternoon, maybe I shouldn't wait till 3:58 to make myself presentable. Just the Right. Time management and the flow of the day has been really interesting. But generally speaking, I try to block my time into big focus buckets. Mm-hmm. And, when I look at my calendar and I use color, I'm a visual, as you might imagine. But, orange is for volunteer work and yellow is for joy and the colors are random. But if I've got too much orange or yellow, it means I'm actually not doing any work. That's fine if you're on holiday. But otherwise, where's the work getting done? Where's all the buffer stuff that you really want somebody else to be doing? And then where's your you time?
Wow, that's great. I'm a big color girl too, so I totally can relate to that. It has been the most interesting thing dealing with people not wanting to pay your fee when you're online. And in many cases, like I did one conference and we had to pre-record it, edit it ourselves. It's like I actually should have charged them double. Like I was doing work that they that they should have had to have done. Do you know what I mean?
I do. I do.
And I was doing more work than if I would have just walked up on the stage, did a mic check, and presented for an hour and a half. Way more work. And so finally, I said to one team, because I'd like, I got to get my head wrapped around this, and I'm not answering quick enough. Or it was such a, you know how in life you're not, we've got new objections that many of us didn't know how to deal with. And so it took us off guard when we were used to objections for, say, 10 years.
Right.
And then you could answer those pretty easily because you're ready. You know it's coming, or you're used to this in negotiations. This was so out of left field that I was like, and finally with one, she said, oh, come on now. Like, literally, oh, come on now. You're not even leaving your house. And I said, that's exactly why you're going to save about $2,000 in expenses, because you are not paying my airfare, hotel, or my meals. So literally, I have just saved you $2,000.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing is the industry's desire to capture me via recording and then reuse that material, you know, ad nauseum into infinity. And that's not the business model. So I'll create something for you that you can share with your prospective members and your dues paying members and whatever it is. But that's one thing. My workshops, my keynotes, that's something else. And that's, you know, a paid privilege, and this idea that we will gladly record content, make it available for 10 years down the line. And so the licensing and the contract language, I had to really button things up. And yet I want to be flexible. And, you know, if I do a good job, what harm can come from having snippets of me, you know, around the digital globe? But it's not even a fine line. It's a pretty wide line with what is expected and what people are asking for lately. Have you found the same?
Oh, yeah. 100%. And it's just very difficult. I don't know why people feel like that. Like, even when I was live, I always said, you know, you can't record it. And people understood it. It was a conference. People were there. They paid the money to go. They understood that. But they don't seem to understand that it's the same thing. I'm just doing this on a different platform, and it can't live for all of your people that weren't there. They're like, we'd like to leave this up for 30 days for all the people that didn't come. Well, then you're going to encourage people to never show up.
That's right.
I mean, what are we really like? I'm doing this to protect you as much as me. And it's my content that doesn't, they can't live out there for, you know,
right.
I don't know, months. It is an interesting thing. And I think that a lot of us that were thrown in this position, we hadn't experienced it except like very little. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden that it's your 100% livelihood. And so, like I said, you're suddenly faced with new objections that and new criteria negotiations that you weren't prepared for. So at first it's happening and you're just kind of like, sure. And then you're like, well, wait a minute. I gotta look at all of these fine details. So yes, I have found that, and it has been interesting and challenging for sure.
You know, on the upside, I'm always delighted to encounter a company, a corporation, because associations, they're in the model of training and education. But when you find a corporation that's, you know, driven to deliver training and ongoing education to their teams, to their employees, and are committed to that and moved content from, you know, this was planned to be in-house, we're going to do it virtually. And that's really exciting to me, because not only do they ultimately retain their top talent for longer, but those stories, especially when expressed online, serve to attract more top talent. And it really, you know, people always say, well, the minute you invest in your staff, that's when they leave. Well, okay. How about they perform at their highest capacity while they're there with you? You know, and you can't keep people forever. That's just not the name of the game. It never was. I hear the same pushback with having staff look really good online. Think LinkedIn. You know, well, they'll get poached, they'll leave. Well, if they find a better place to work with more reward and more opportunity, that's going to happen anyway. So shore up your house and use your staff, leverage how they show up, the the digital footprint, to fill your talent funnel, to look good to customers, prospects, the media. I mean, there's so much potential. You know, circling back to that personal brand and the power that companies have, even associations, so many members of the board don't even say they're affiliated with that association. So it's just a real exciting opportunity for companies to better leverage virtual space, digital space that they're now taking another look at because we aren't convening in person.
Absolutely. That's so right. Oh my gosh, I was just thinking about board members. You're right. People very rarely actually accentuate the skill sets of their board members.
Yeah, they don't think, and it's not, I think, a negligence or, you know, a refusal mm-hmm. as much as it is the absence of making the ask. Most board members, when asked, will say, oh, of course, it just never occurred to me.
Right.
Same too with staff and employees. Everybody wants to look their best and do their part. We just need to ask the question, offer the guidance, and then reinforce the right behaviors.
Right. So what do you think are your greatest skill sets, your superpowers, if you will, that have really helped you in continuing to have a successful business?
I love that question because over the years, it has changed dramatically. But on this day, as I look back at, you know, the furthest I can look back, it's being a word nerd is my superpower. My language skills specifically, and I may not be exhibiting it right this minute, so foot and mouth, but brevity, conciseness of language. When you're a B2B corporate marketer in high tech, as I was for many, many years, the ability to describe complex software solutions, target buyers, markets, channels, in the fewest words with the greatest of ease was, you know, my craft. And now I help people articulate what they do and for whom and to what end in easy, memorable ways that feel good to them. They're exciting and, you know, their face smiles when they talk about themselves. And that's a skill that I really enjoy, whether I'm writing, I'm speaking, I'm coaching, or doing the crossword puzzle.
Great. Share with us one of your most outstanding accomplishments.
Wow. The first thing that came to mind wasn't business at all. I think, let me dial that back up into business mode. I think getting comfortable with not understanding myself, but loving myself just the same. You know, looking in the mirror at the past with, you know, sort of almost without emotion and understanding what only really matters is the future. This idea that if we can't love ourselves, we can't love others. We certainly can't expect love in return. And I think that plays out in business because we don't know what we don't know. And oftentimes that holds us back. We feel guilty. We feel like an imposter. And I'm getting more and more comfortable saying, that's new for me, or I'm not particularly, you know, good at this, but I'm eager to learn. I'm highly teachable. Just the understanding that wherever I've been need not influence wherever I'm going. That's something I'm really proud of because for me, that was hard work.
Wow. Yep. That's great and profound. So that was a really great answer. Let's talk about the polar opposite of that, an obstacle or challenge that you faced and how you worked through it. I'd love to hear a great story if you have a specific one.
Let's see. There's so many to choose from, Belinda. I'll talk about the course that I'm in the process of creating and the companion book. I don't know which comes first, the book or the course or the book. But the fact that I'm still saying I'm in the process of creating makes me want to stick a hot poker in my eye because this journey started practically a decade ago. And I was counseled at the time it was maybe too soon. And then I tried to do it cheap and fast and do it alone. And then I got back started again and business got busy and I didn't outsource. I mean, it's like every entrepreneur or small business owner's lesson always comes back to me trying to get the first full-fledged book. You know, I've written chapters, but not unlike you. I don't have that title yet published under my name and the course that goes with it. And yet, when I look at all the material, it's all there. It's just chunking it up, creating it, and trusting people to help me do that. I think historically, I've trusted some wrong people. But like it didn't go as planned. I felt cheated or jilted or whatever. And then I started, instead of finding my yeses, I got a little fearful. And with the fear came reticence and hesitancy and putting goals and dreams off. Whereas instead of, again, looking at the past and saying that not need be my future and saying, go find the right people, at the right price, the right time, and go find your yeses. I stood still. And standing still these days is the equivalent of falling behind.
So, 100%.
So it bothers me. And I try not to associate big emotions like guilt or shame to the topic, because then it really is immobilizing. But instead, lessons you've learned. Well, I'm still learning this one. Stay tuned.
Oh my gosh. So if this makes you feel any better, which I hope it does. So I've had this book that I have been writing. I have actually rewritten it with like three different writers. So we're talking, it's been on the shelf for 15 years, probably. And then in the midst of all that, I was like, okay, I am ready. I am ready to do this. And then I got the call from Wiley Publishing that said, we've identified you to author this book as one of the leading experts in this field. Will you do it? So then it was a whole vetting process, but then I did it. That took 9 months of my life. So then I put it on the back burner. And then you're right. Life got super busy again. And then I was like, and now here I am in the pandemic, pulling this back off the shelf again one more time. And I'm like, am I ever going to write this ridiculous book? And I know exactly. Trust me.
Yeah. And it's like you read these books that other people wrote, and all I want to say is God bless them, because they wrote and published it. It's got the ISBN, it's on the shelf, regardless of what I think of it. But, truth be told, I read a lot of these books. I'm like, really? What's all the fuss? And I can't even say that, not even jokingly, because I got nothing.
There you go. I hear you 100%.
But I will say this.
I got to believe it, and it depends on how bad that you really, want to do it. But it's like you just have to realize, and I'm realizing this book is different, and your course I'm sure will be too, than what it would have been 10 years ago.
100%. Yeah.
It's grown so much. And I can carry some of it over, but now I've got new material to add to it. And I've just learned to work within it. So I'm like, it is what it is. And we just move on. So as far as guilt, shame, any of those things that we stop and look at ourselves and say, wow, what is wrong with me? And I will tell you, I used to hound Oprah's show, hound it. And I would say, I've sold enough CDs that are equivalent to like a gold record, which we had. But they didn't care about that I had created a course and it had sold, thousands upon thousands of sets. They didn't care. So, and they just kept saying to me, when you get a book done, reach out to us. And so here was what I wanted so bad. And all I had to do was finish that doggone book. And I just let that pass me on by.
Isn't it crazy? It is. And everybody's got that one thing. I coach people, and the amount of guilt or shame, like I should have, and the energy and the weight and the sort of negative self-talk that keeps resurfacing, in this category, I do the same exact thing. I'm like, and everybody said, well, now's the perfect time. COVID, nobody's hiring speakers. Well, I was too freaked out about nobody hiring speakers. And then I did get hired. So, there's no good time to just say, I'm super busy right now writing my book. Let me get back to you.
Exactly. Well, what does working from your happy place mean to you?
Working from my happy place. I've been thinking about this since we encountered each other. My greatest joy comes from seeing the light bulb go off for others. And so, you have to understand, 30 years ago, I was a shy, awkward, self-conscious kid who couldn't look you in the eye, shake your hand, tell you how to pronounce my name, let alone what I did for a living. I mean, I was that gal. And so I look to myself to be the living proof that shifts the way other people see their potential. If I can make that change, there's no special power, just a regular old awkward gal. If I can do that, others can. And when I see them, the light bulb go off and they finally embrace that there is no limit and that they can love themselves without understanding themselves and they can lean in and weigh into that conversation and no puppies will be harmed as a result. And this sort of freedom of spirit, it brings tears to my eyes. Often brings tears to my eyes. That is happy. Now, when I'm at home working, my happy place is with the music on loud. And that's what I bring to you.
All right. Well, what advice would you give to others wanting to go out on their own, following this entrepreneurial journey? Maybe they're in it and they're struggling. What advice would you give?
Oh, read these 30 books. No, buy them all because your friends told you you have to read these 30 books and then use them as paperweights because it's nonstop coming at you left and right. What I wish I had done in hindsight, and I'm asked this often and my answers seldom change. I feel good about this advice. Getting coaching early and not being committed to the coach, but to the outcome. So not every coach is meant to last a lifetime through your journey, but getting support, real support that you pay for, not like 17 friends weighing in on what you should do, is something I really wish I'd done. And living in your zone of integrity, which means doing that which only you can do and you do best, but trusting others to do those things which are not aligned with your unique gifts. And that's really hard to do, especially in the beginning. Perhaps money is tight. Perhaps, like me, you're distrustful of others for whatever reason. But, getting the attorney and the bookkeeper or the accountant or the CPA, the coach, the web designer, instead of teaching yourself how to use, how to do SEO, maybe hire somebody for that. Right. And it's still the struggle when you look at, I can do that. Well, you know what? You could also sleep 8 hours tonight. And that's really critical to your success.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Gosh. So what are some new and exciting things that you're working on that you think our listeners might benefit from?
In addition to the book and the course.
Yeah.
Well, I am actually next quarter launching small group coaching. I have resisted the call for coaching. The clients I coach find me and they ask me. And then I work something out. But I do enjoy the work. It's just, as you know, it's slow to help one person at a time.
Yep.
So I put the bare bones around a small group project that I'm going to be piloting next quarter. And I'm excited to keep my hands sort of in the mix, helping people individually, but not individually as a group, and wait for the world to reopen with all of us vaccinated and healthy and back on stages and corporate training rooms.
Yeah, I'm excited about that as well, for sure. Great. Well, this has been very, very delightful and enlightening. So thank you for your pearls of wisdom. And I would also like you to let our listeners know where they can find you.
Oh, thank you, Belinda. The pleasure's been all mine. Now, my name is an odd one. Simadoll is S like Sam, I, M as in Mary, A. Doll is date as in David, AHL. Simadoll.com on LinkedIn, on Twitter. My social media handle is Sima Says, because as an only child, is there anyone else? No, it's just what Sima says. And I'd love to connect with your listeners online and see how I can help and just stay connected with your audience.
Oh, perfect. Well, thank you. And thanks everyone for tuning in today on Work From Your Happy Place. Don't forget, if you haven't subscribed, hit that button and subscribe so you don't miss a single great episode. And we always love it if you leave us a review. The biggest form of appreciation you can give us, though, is to share this with a friend. Thanks so much, everyone. And we'll see you next time on Work From Your Happy Place.
Thanks for joining us at Work From Your Happy Place. If you like what you hear, please share it with your friends and be sure to rate and review us on iTunes or Stitcher. For a free gift on finding your own happy place, please visit workfromyourhappyplace.com and click on the free audio button. Thanks again for listening.